Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour number 2 on a Wednesday. Zany Bits is what we do. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. I did Zany Radio Bits like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I did Zany Radio Bits not 10 years ago.
Yeah. So we'll see. But the Buffalo.
I'm available for that stuff, though. You are, you know, America's media icon.
I know. It's true. Well, Howard Stern has done radio bits. Conservative radio feels like one big bit. They're just making stuff up.
It's like a never-ending SNL skit. I'm so concerned about it that, like, I honestly, if you did lose this, which it is on the board because I tend to lean towards Nick as far as the Bills take goes. I might volunteer as tribute just so that video doesn't have to be on the internet of you. That's how much respect I have for you, Colin.
All right. Well, that's nice of you. So, listen, Aaron Rodgers said something yesterday, and he tried to create an argument that doesn't exist. So he's talking about GOATs, the greatest of all time. He's on the Pat McAfee show, and there's what Aaron Rodgers said.
There's way too many people labeled the GOAT, or guy's the GOAT of this guy's the GOAT of that. It used to be greatest of all time is one person, mm-hmm. right? But now, because there's way too many GOATs, I think you have to break it out into specific categories. Best winner of all time, person who's won the most championships. Best player, you know, which involves talent and ability and what you did with it. Most talented player. You know,
that'd probably be you.
Best thrower of the football.
Like, that's probably you.
There's all these different ways you can break that out.
No, nobody does that. Aaron, there's one GOAT, it's Brady, it's not you. Nobody breaks it up like that. You want us to. Nobody breaks it up like that, Aaron. Michael Jordan's the GOAT. Wayne Gretzky's the GO. He's like the chosen one. Or what do they call him? The great one. He's just the GO. And then there's like Michael. And there's Brady, and then there's Gretzky, and it was like Pele. No, nobody, Aaron, is doing that. I will, though, say, of the 12 greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen, I've always looked at them differently based on a lot of factors. I would say, of like the 12 best quarterbacks I've ever seen, here's the three groups. I would put them in the super talented. And to me, that is Favre, Marino, Rodgers, Elway. Some won a championship, some didn't, some won a couple. God gave them something that nobody else had. Arm strength, release, it's just different looking. Favre, Marino, Rodgers, Elway. It just looks different. I would say there's the super winners. They also had talent, but maybe it was their leadership, their coach. They just played in big games forever, and they seem to win a lot of them. Bradshaw, Aikman, Brady, Montana. And then I would classify the super unique. Breeze is the most accurate thrower of the football I have ever seen. Russell Wilson's the single greatest playmaker. Peyton Manning changed the game intellectually. He was a coach on the field. And then Steve Young was a precursor to Russell Wilson. They're just unique. They may not have all the championships. They don't have the raw talent of Marino. They're maybe not as, but there's something there. It's a little talent, a little leadership, a little winning, and I've never seen another quarterback I compared to Peyton, ever. It's just the way he played. Now, I will say this. Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback I've ever seen that could be in all three of those. He's it. Not saying he's going to be. And I need to see. We're really, you know, he's been here. He's been at the party for about an hour and a half. Let's see a couple more years. He's the only quarterback that he's unique. Left-handed throws, sidearm, talent. It's absurd. And he has a chance with Andy Reid to join the super winner. And in my life, I couldn't put one guy in all three. Mahomes is the only one potentially that can get there. But Aaron, nobody's talking about best arm is GOAT. That doesn't exist. That argument, nobody's talking about that. Yeah. All right, let's bring in the voice of college football, Fox Sports college football analyst. We disagree a lot, Joel Klatt. This week they got a great game. Northwestern and Ohio State Saturday at noon. The great Gus Johnson, Joel and Jenny Taft, Big Ten Championship Fox. Joined to Colorado as a preferred walk-on, meaning of the walk-ons, they liked him a little more, not much.
It's true.
Okay, so true.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great. I was listening to you earlier.
Yeah, spreading a lot of gospel.
There's a lot of wrong. Here we go.
But let's talk about this. Let's find agreement. You would acknowledge that a one-loss SEC team and a one-loss Pac-12 team, if I had to push you on it, generally you'd... If you had to guess, you'd say SEC team plays in 100,000-seat stadiums, more NFL players, be a little harder.
Yeah, like A&M's better than Colorado.
There you go. Okay.
I acknowledge and agree.
So we acknowledge all things are not equal.
Sure.
So there is a threshold in which I would put Cincinnati ahead of Florida. But because of the SEC and the players, it's three losses, not two. If a kid doesn't throw a shoe, I feel so bad for that kid. We're not even.
I mean, I don't. He chucked a shoe.
We're not even having the argument, if not for a kid throwing a shoe.
Well, I mean, let's not let Florida off the hook. It's not like LSU is world beaters rolling in there. What were they, 28-point dogs starting a true freshman in his very first start? They had 54 scholarship players in a week in which they talked about 20 players transferring out of there, and Ed Ogeron's losing all control, and they roll out there. And you're blaming a shoe throw? It's like, well, you know, Florida should have beat them. Save for that shoe throw, they shouldn't have been in that situation. They're supposed to have a Heisman front runner in Kyle Trask.
Do you want to see Cincinnati play Alabama? it's an interesting pause.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Well,
I don't think
is.
That. Well, let's be honest. In college football, there are very few, if any, years that you can argue that the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th best team in the country really deserves a shot at the national championship.
That's where you and I have always agreed.
That's where I and I've said that for years, yeah. Right? And there's no doubt about that. However, I think the frustrating part for me when it comes to the playoff committee, right? Like our system right now in college football is that it's wrought with contradictions. And that's what's frustrating to me. The reason it's not 8 and it's 4 and we only like expanded a little bit from the BCS National Championship to now a 4-team playoff was several reasons, but really mainly two. We wanted to maintain this unique and important regular season. We couldn't play extra games in December during finals week. That's crazy. And yet here we are this week, and last night the committee basically told us that regular season games don't matter, whether you win or lose. We're just going to put you wherever we think you should go.
I think you're over. They're saying they matter, but as I've said, they're not everything.
How do they matter if Louisiana beats Iowa State by multiple touchdowns, Coastal Carolina beats Louisiana, and then Iowa State and Coastal are ranked where they're ranked? Like, so clearly they don't matter. The fact that Cincinnati dropped a spot and Florida dropped a spot, one spot each, in a week in which Cincinnati didn't even play, and Florida, as I just talked about, they were 28-point favorites. They were playing a team that had 54 scholarship players, starting a true freshman quarterback in his very first start.
By the way,
you should win that game.
The committee isn't allowing Florida to play for a national championship. All the committee is saying is they're better than Cincinnati.
But at this
point,
and
I think they are.
The fact that they dropped them only to where they dropped them leaves this glimmer of like, well, if they were to beat Alabama this week, wouldn't they potentially be in the playoff? So they're leaving these little avenues. But the contradiction from the committee, if we're going to just say, hey, the regular season doesn't matter, like the committee told us it didn't matter last night, then let's expand the playoff and really start watering down the regular season, which is what an expanded playoff would do. The other one was like, we can't play during finals week. I'm sorry. My watch says December 16th. Anybody else? Like, I haven't heard a syllable from anybody as it relates to these players this year because of COVID playing right through finals week.
I think this is the difference. I've come to terms with, I can departmentalize stuff pretty well. Like I NBA is a star driven league. I accept some nonsense from star players saying plane leaves when I get there. I got this part. The NFL is more structured. I come to terms with college football.
Okay.
That we know The NFL GMs tell us, the high school recruiting rankings tell us, the best players are mostly in the South. I have a history of 15 years of them dominating these games. So I always give a pass to the SEC. Now, I am called an SEC homer. Funny, I work at the network that doesn't have their games. I was called that forever, and now I've always just said, in college football, I lean South if I've got an argument. Okay. I just go with them. Because that's what history
regardless
tells.
Of what the games suggest.
Well, the games suggest.
So you're telling me that you really want recruiting rankings to matter, right? Like, but for you, that's a big deal.
Here's a good way to say it. If you went out and did, like, let's say you go out and do a Saturday game. And you go out and do a game. It's Ohio State, Penn State. And it's exhausting. You guys work your butt off. You get up early. You travel. You come home Sunday. You don't – Sunday morning, you're in a fog a little bit.
Sure.
You have given so much energy to Fox and you and Gus, and it goes – a couple years ago, Ohio State, Penn State, I'm thinking, you're flying home exhausted. It was so
– Sure.
What I am saying about the SEC is when you play SEC teams, you have more injuries.
There's no doubt.
So the SEC teams, there is a little roller coaster effect that if you go to LSU and win, you have seven injuries. The following week, you lose. I'm like, yeah, but part of it is because you played LSU. If you're Cincinnati,
I don't disagree with that.
You play Memphis.
I don't disagree with that. And I have been a big conference snob at times.
I am.
And self-proclaimed.
I'm a snob on that stuff.
But it's fascinating to me because I still don't – I just want to push back on, like, recruiting rankings need to matter. For how we crown a champion. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it still needs to rest on the field. Results need to matter more than potential. They just do. I mean, look, Colin. I mean, you of all people should want results to matter. You didn't have any pedigree. You're just like kind of a weird guy with a squeaky voice from Portland. You went to Eastern Washington. They have a red field, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
you didn't
right.
go to Syracuse.
Right.
You have no pedigree.
You're right.
You shouldn't be in the chair that you're in, but you are. You know why? You're really good. You're really good.
You can continue
results
on that topic
matter.
If you'd like. All right.
So it doesn't matter, folks,
see,
at home. I get it. You think he's weird with a squeaky voice?
So,
I do, too.
So he played to my vanity. This is the manipulative nature of Klatt. So he wins this.
I just think it's a solid argument. It's a philosophically sound argument.
Okay,
you are Iowa. Oh, that was beautiful,
good
folks.
Hell, don't go there.
You are
not Iowa.
You are. Colin is Cincinnati. That's the beauty of this. So that's why I'm shocked at your own opinion.
But I hate myself a lot.
No, you shouldn't hate yourself because results matter.
I hate myself
results
a lot.
Results matter.
Okay, let's go to this.
There could be some guy from Syracuse sitting in your, you know, he could be a former Hall of Famer, all the talent in the world. You get results.
I stepped on his neck years ago.
Yes, you did.
So Bama
results
1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. I'm going to throw this at you. I'm going to get so much hate for this.
Uh-oh.
I can see three of them winning a national championship. I can't see Ohio State winning. I don't like their defense. I don't think they can win it. And I have been fighting for them all year, playing five games, getting in.
Well, they should get. I think they should get in. They're clearly one of the four best teams, if that's a criteria we're going to use.
I think Notre Dame could pound the football, run the clock. Now, I think Alabama.
It's a game I'd love to see.
So I think Alabama's going to win. But if Alabama played Clemson in the opener with Trevor Lawrence, they could lose. Of the four teams, and I think they deserve to be in. I think Ohio State's the weakest. That's my takeaway.
The factor that you may be missing, let me just bring up two. And this is not a huge defense because, listen, I would not pick Ohio State even against Clemson. I would pick them against Notre Dame. I would not pick them.
Are you sure?
It would be a tight game, but I would pick them. I'm not saying by 10.
Why would you pick them?
Why would I pick them? Their defensive front seven is very good. Very good. Maybe as a front seven, even better than last year, although they don't have the individual greatness like Chase Young. As a unit, they're very good. Veteran, their linebacker core, their defensive line. And then this is the one thing, and again, this is where maybe you're contradicting yourself. You love the best player on the field generally, quarterbacks. Quarterbacks win games.
Yeah, I do.
Justin Fields is a huge factor in this.
But you and I both agree Ohio State's defense doesn't feel as good this year.
No, you're exactly right. The secondary is not as good. They're giving up more big plays. Their front seven is good. And all I'm saying is that I don't think Ian Book is the type. Like, if they play Clemson, I'm worried for Ohio State because of Trevor Lawrence.
Same with Alabama.
Same with Alabama with their passing
game,
right?
Okay, so you don't think Ian Book could take advantage of their secondary?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, that's fair. That's fair.
That's the only thing. But I wouldn't pick Ohio State over Clemson. I wouldn't certainly pick them over Alabama. Alabama is the best team in the country.
Yes, they are. I want to throw something at you. when you love something, you want to see it right. It's like our kids.
Yeah.
You know, and you give them advice, and it's, oh, they may not like it, but your heart's in the good place.
Sure.
So I love college football, but I'm going to throw, I think Joy and I would both admit, can we hire a CEO of the sport?
Oh, so it's not, I'm with you guys.
Not balkanized and everybody's doing their
own.
By
the way, after Saturday, I'm free.
So, well, I mean, like in broadcasting, we have the FCC. You have to be governed. But this is the difference.
An overarching governing entity.
The difference between UFC and boxing, why the UFC exploded, was they had Dana White.
That's right.
A centralized figure that calls the shots and can be very unpopular.
And can act on behalf of the sport.
Yes.
And not individual silos
like
within the sport.
Promoters.
That's
right.
Exactly right. I've brought up this analogy before on your show.
I'll throw this one out. The easiest way to make it at least a little more even. Instead of 85 scholarships, you go to 70. The NFL's more violent. They've got 55 guys there.
I disagree because I am not going to be in the business of removing opportunity from
kids
Remember, to go to school and earn a scholarship.
Oh, boy, you throw that out
there. Well, I'm not, right? Like, I'm just...
Listen, I mean, half these sports are getting cut. What about the volleyball player at blankety blank school?
Well, that's one of the reasons why it was so important to play football in the first place is because without football's revenue, you can't have all the ancillary sports. So if you want the intercollegiate model at all for opportunity for men's soccer players, female lacrosse players, volleyball, swimming, if you want those people to have opportunity in college to further their life and have opportunity, then you need college football.
Okay, what I'm saying, though, going from 85 to 15, your initial impression is it's fewer kids getting scholarships. What I'm saying is they're more spread out. It may hurt the walk-on because we don't need you because more of those kids are going to go to your non-traditional powers.
I do think that the name, image, and likeness coming into college football may spread some of the best players out. And the reason is it would be more advantageous monetarily for a player, Colin, to go be the singular five-star player at Utah in Salt Lake rather than being the 15th five-star player in Tuscaloosa. Because
it'll spread the quarterbacks out.
Well, and I think it'll spread, you know, so it would be better to be a big fish in a small pond from a monetary standpoint with name, image, and likeness than it would be to just be the 15th. Because right now, the talent is all at the top. The playoff has pushed all the talent to the top. Like, it's today's early signing day period. Look at the class that Alabama and Ohio State are signing.
It's just
absurd.
And I consider that when I look at rankings.
No.
It's your personnel.
Colin, again, you have zero pedigree. You went to a school with a red field. You are a weird guy from Portland. You are Cincinnati. This is like you should be rooting for results over potential.
Yeah, but there's a reason I played the lottery. I wanted to be powerful. I hated being Cincinnati. I like being Alabama in my field.
But the problem with your argument is that you're not providing an avenue for that to happen for that. You had an avenue because you were in a meritocracy and a results oriented. People either listened or they didn't to you.
Yeah.
And they listen because you're interesting. You have good arguments.
Oh, I thought I was goofy and you didn't like me.
Well, those are true. So I really like you and I like listening to you. It doesn't mean that you're not weird from Portland and have a squeaky voice and with no pedigree.
Okay.
So you keep changing the subject when I bring that up.
All right. No, I think we had most agreement today. I think Joy and I have been on this. Like, could you hire a CEO for the sport?
I'm with that. I'm ready for an overarching governing body. I've brought up the analogy, and it's probably boring, but college football is like our country before the Constitutional Convention. We just had like 13 colonies not adhering to international law or so on and so on. We needed an overarching governing body, and we got an overarching governing body, and that's what really took things off.
That was boring. I thought it was educational. I feel smarter having listened to that.
Constitutional Convention.
Happens once about a month, maybe, but nonetheless, I appreciate it.
I'm just glad that you're in a results-oriented business.
Okay, Ohio State, you can't get the score. I understand you guys. I like Ohio State by about 10 over Northwestern. I think the best academic school, the best football school. It will be competitive. Two great coaches. There you go.
Northwestern's a good defense, I will tell you that.
All right.
And I really like Pat Fitzgerald, by the way.
Who doesn't?
He's one of the best coaches in America, any level.
And by the way, not about money, not about prestige, has been offered everything shy of the Bears job. He's been offered NFL jobs, college jobs. He loves where he's at.
I'm proud of you.
Why?
You know that?
Why?
Look at where you're at.
Oh, enough. Okay, let's.
That's a big chair.
You make it.
Years of consistency matter too, Joel.
That's exactly right.
8-0 for every single year.
You make it sound like I was raised.
15 years.
He is results. Results, Joy.
He makes it sound like I was raised by otters. I had parents.
I mean, you were
a doctor as a dad.
Yeah, I mean,
student mother. Sister's bright. Yeah, I'm not like some.
Just saying, you went to Eastern Washington.
It's the Harvard of the Palouse. Don't you forget, pal.
Listen. Listen, I'm complimenting you. Look at you. I'm proud of you. You did it.
Your time's up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, with a spot in the college football playoff potentially up for grabs, the Big Ten's best battle for the conference crown, number 14 Northwestern takes on Justin Fields and number 4 Ohio State in the 2020 Big Ten Championship presented by Discover. It all starts with the Big Noon Kickoff pregame show live on site from Indianapolis, followed by the Big Ten Championship at noon Eastern, only on Fox.
I'll be watching Joy Taylor with the news.
Turn on the news! This is the Herd Line News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Reports have surfaced today that the Rockets created a culture built around James Harden and giving him whatever he wanted. According to multiple former coaches and staff members, the motto for the team was, whatever James wants. This included practice schedules, extended road trips in cities that Harden liked, and final calls on team personnel. One staffer even said, James has never heard no before. And a former assistant said everyone knew that Harden was the boss and it was just part of the deal in Houston.
You said something really smart. I think it was last week. You said the difference between just talent and real stars in this league is self-awareness. Even if I had the power to get everything I wanted, any company I've worked with, it would create resentment if you didn't bring people along for some of the ride. Like for James not to understand. I mean, LeBron could get anything he wanted.
Right.
Anything. But LeBron is one of the hardest working practice players because, and Duncan was like this, they understand how it's viewed by other players. You're setting an example. This is just like, you don't have any self-awareness. This is going to create, I mean, your buddy Westbrook, according to the story, started resenting you.
I mean, it would create resentment in any kind of situation. This would create resentment in a relationship. Even if you have someone who's a giver, if you're just constantly, constantly, constantly taking and you're not reciprocating, it's going to fail. If you have kids, you have a bunch of kids, if one kid gets everything and they're spoiled, the other kids are going to resent them. If it's a workplace and one salesperson gets all the perks because they're at the top and they don't give it to anyone else, like that's how it's going to go. It's just not a functional setup. Now, I don't blame the organization for doing that because organizations have to try and retain stars. You need stars to sell tickets. You need to be relevant. You need to sell merchandise. You need to be in the conversation. And it's not like James Harden is not a great player.
Yeah.
He is a top player in the NBA. It's when I look at these situations, it always comes back to what you said. It's on the player. If you know you have the access, and even superstars, we're in Los Angeles. Stars get what they want.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how much of that you take.
That's right.
And that's on you. Just because someone's going to give you a mile, do you take the mile?
You know,
do you need the mile?
Yeah. I know it sounds, we're a capitalist country, you take everything you can get. And in some instances, that's right. But when you're part of a team or a collective, like it's important for Aaron Rodgers. He supports the Wisconsin Badgers. He goes to Bucks games.
Sure.
He is really spreading the gospel that you give so much to me as a Green Bay quarterback. I'm going to give back to you, the community. I love your teams, too. I think that's a really cool thing that Aaron does. California guy, probably didn't grow up rooting for the Bucks or the Brewers. But Aaron's always like, hey, thank you for supporting my teams. I want to be part of this community. And I think it plays big. I think it feels important. And I think Aaron's got self-awareness to know it's really cool that I'm rooting for the Badgers as much as everybody else at their cookout today in Wisconsin. And that kind of stuff, I think, matters. You're not just an ISO star.
And everyone is wired differently, right? Like, also, Aaron Rodgers, clearly, is somebody who cares about what his legacy is.
Yeah.
Some people just enjoy what they do because of what doing what they do brings them. Right? Like, it's not that James Harden's not a great player. He is a great player. He is contributing to the sport. But maybe he likes the fact that, you know, he makes millions and millions of dollars from the sport and he likes to party and he likes to go to strip clubs and he likes to have a good time. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are the superstar taking that superstar chunk of the pie, in that you're late and you control all the personnel moves and you affect what everyone else does, you should be winning the championships that also benefit everyone else, and they're not.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. As a fan, I don't know how to absorb that, because if you're winning championships, you get the grace of doing basically whatever you want.
Yeah.
But if you're not, it's kind of like, dude, you're doing a lot. And right. for me, like Andrew Whitworth said this on the show a few weeks ago, the Rams don't have any rules. There's one rule.
Play hard, show up, you know.
Be on time. That's it. That's the literal, not play hard, like nothing. One rule. Be on time. Because that's just principle respect for other people.
Yeah.
That you want to start on time. Be on time. So Lamar Jackson is one of the fastest players in the league and leads all quarterbacks in rushing attempts and rushing yards this season. The Jaguars now have the tall task of slowing him down this weekend. And Doug Marrone joked about how difficult it is to prepare for Lamar. He said they would need to bring on an Olympic sprinter in order to simulate his speed in practice.
You know, this is very interesting, Joy, because at the college level, I have talked to coaches before who have recruited athletes at quarterback not with the intention of making them a four-year starter. But in their conference, they face running quarterbacks, and they're like receiver slash quarterback, but you take him because it's like he's got value all year. We can use him during the week preparing. And so he's like half quarterback, half receiver, but he's got incredible value to the program, and you scholarship him. In the NFL, you can't do that. You can't just keep guys, maybe on a scout team somewhere. Part of the difficulty of Lamar is you can't replicate it at practice.
And you are what you habitually do. So if you're practicing against a guy that is significantly slower than Lamar Jackson, and it's also like what we were talking about earlier, it's almost impossible for defenses, even great defenses, to prepare for athletic quarterbacks. It's not traditionally how defenses are set up to defend. It's like if you can go all in on protecting the run, and you better hope that they're not going to kill you over the top. And I mean, that has been a question of Lamar throughout his career so far. But if you have a guy that does both, like there's really nothing you can do. You can just hope that your offense can score as much as they are. So the Dolphins have their second matchup with the Patriots this season on Sunday. It'll be Tua's first time against them as a starter. And Brian Flores thinks this will be a good test for the rookie.
I don't think there's any way he's seen everything he's likely to see. He's just, you know, so young in his career. Look, I mean, it's going to be a very big challenge, you know, not only for Tua, but our entire offense, our entire team.
You know, Bill Belichick loves a good young quarterback matchup.
This is one of my favorite bets in a long time, and I'm not going to tell you which way I'm going, but I've got a real strong belief on this game for a couple of reasons. So this is part of my Blazing Five.
Oh, it is a Blazing Five pick.
It's a Blazing Five pick, and I'll just leave it at that. It's a Blazing Five pick.
Well, we know Bill Belichick is 21-5 against rookie quarterbacks with the Patriots. They are 8-0 against rookie quarterbacks since 2015. This is a very, very big game for the Dolphins. Obviously, the Patriots are still technically alive, but this is a bigger game for the Dolphins as they are in the seventh seed right now and in the wild card. They have the Patriots this weekend. Then they're at the Raiders and at the Bills. Wow. So they need to win out. The Ravens are in the hunt, 8-5. Raiders play Thursday.
Who do the Browns play? For the record, very, very strong weekend of NFL numbers. Now, I said this.
The Browns play the Giants on Sunday night.
Giants played their worst game of the year. Watch the Giants Sunday night at home. Bad mood. It's very interesting.
This is a very important weekend, starting with Thursday night.
Browns are on a short week. Come off a highly emotional game. Giants are ticked. Just saying. Just keep your eye on that one. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I got to tell you, we have sometimes there's rumors and sometimes there's rumors that make sense. Peter King was talking about in his column, this is a rumor with legs, that Matt Stafford and the Patriots may end up working. It's very interesting because the Patriots have a ton of cap space next year. They're paying none of their offensive players. And Matt for a year is going to cost you 35, and then he comes down to 28. So, you know, Belichick's about 68, 69 years old. Does he want to draft Zach Wilson and cross his fingers he works, or does he want to get Matt Stafford? This feels – Matt Stafford, first of all, completes 63% of his passes in his career. It's gotten better in recent years as the game's become more offensive. It's closer to 64.5. He's got a 90 passer rating and two times as many touchdowns as picks. Matt also has the money and he's got the stats. Matt wants to win. Matt Stafford wants to win. I would compare this to Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett had the money and the stats, but we never talked about him on the show because he wasn't a winner. And he went from a losing culture with the T-Wolves to the Celtics. And now when we think of Kevin Garnett, We think he's a winning basketball player. Matt Stafford's got about 4 to 5 years left to play. He's still 32. Belichick's got about 4 to 5 years to coach. This makes a lot of sense, is that this is a microwavable meal here. This is a guy that's good, a guy that just needs the only bad number with Matt Stafford in his career, 74 wins, 84 losses. That's corrected. All those close losses become close wins with Belichick, who's certainly worth 3 to 5 points a game. So this is one that's got legs. Kevin Garnett, stats and money, losing player. Went to the Celtics, he had all three. I think this makes a ton of sense for Belichick and a ton of sense. And that New England's got, I think they have more cap space than anybody in the league next year. I think it's them or the Jets, they got a ton of cap space.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
A gift-giving tip? RecTech, perfect gift for your family. RecTech is a grill built by grillers for grillers. Everybody loves grills. They signify family and togetherness. You can turn on your grill from your phone, RecTechwithaQ.com. We were talking earlier as Aaron Rodgers got into this thing. He said there's too many GOATs out there with quarterbacks and best arm, and I thought it was a little disingenuous. It's like, no, there's not. Everybody knows Brady's the GOAT. Nobody argues there's a second GOAT. And I did put, we were talking as a staff during the break, I kind of put the 12 best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And there's a couple really close, Warren Moon, Dan Fouts. These are the 12 best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And I put them in three tiers. And let's just stay on them for a second. These are the all-time super talents, meaning whether they won or lost, they literally played the game differently. It looks different when Aaron Rodgers throws the ball. It just looks different. And to be in this group, to be in any of my groups, you got to be a starter for 5 years. I'm not going to count I'm not going to count Mahomes. He's been in the league not long enough. You got to give me 4 or 5 years. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes got hurt tomorrow, I can't put him in on all-time lists. I just can't. So I think Favre and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, how rare is that? Back-to-back quarterback, same organization. Dan Marino and John Elway. Now, Elway, of course, had a couple of championships. And Marino never got it, but they're just... I never felt like coaching made them talented. They just looked different, played different, and regardless of the coach, regardless of winning and losing, they did stuff nobody else could do. And then I would say the super winners. Now, many of them, they're all talented, but they either had better defenses. Maybe they were better leaders. Maybe there was less ego. Maybe Bradshaw, Aikman, Brady, Montana. They were just the most productive. And again, this is not, even the NBA, you need a second or third star. It's not a shock. One had Bill Walsh, one had Jimmy Johnson, one had Chuck Knoll, and one had Belichick. Four of the best 8 coaches, 10 coaches, league history. They were the all-time super winners. And you could argue, and I would agree, that Brady is the GOAT. Then I would go to the super unique club. And I'm not saying they're not talented and not productive, but they just changed the game. Breeze's accuracy, he's the most accurate thrower of the football I've ever seen. Russell Wilson and Steve Young are the greatest playmakers I have ever seen. Where they're both great pocket throwers and unbelievable. Maybe Lamar could eventually get there if he became a better pocket thrower. And then Peyton Manning to me, and I know you look at this group, but Peyton literally intellectually changed the game. Is that he would go to the line with 3 plays, audible to a fourth. Like Tony Dungy, and a Hall of Fame coach, is like, yeah, you just do the offense. You just take care of the offense. I'll do the defense. I think Peyton changes the way even Brady played. Peyton has forced the sport. I mean, I grew up in an era where you could just be a little bit of a dumb old jock with a big arm and play and win a lot of games. Peyton forced you to think the game, not play it. You had to think it, not just play it. And he forced Brady to be better. He forced everybody to really, if you're not intellectually, cerebrally engaged against Peyton, he's going to humiliate you. And I said Patrick Mahomes is the only player I've seen who I think could be in all three. All-time talent, productive winner, and really unique. I mean, left-handed throws. I mean, we never talked about that, even with like a Steve Young, that he didn't change the hand he's throwing the ball with. So, I think Mahomes has a really good chance to be at least in the super talent, super winner category. I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard for me to not see him win two more Super Bowls. I just, barring an injury, in fact, it's funny. I like Josh Allen. I am deeply concerned that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, is going to leave Josh Allen. That concerns me for Josh, that he'll never quite be this good because of his coordinate. We've seen great quarterbacks. Matt Ryan's very good, not the same without Kyle Shanahan. Whereas Mahomes, Andy Reid's going, no, Andy Reid will never leave. This is it, baby. You don't leave Mahomes.
Look what happened to the Eagles.
What happened to Carson Wentz? We don't think he can play now. So that's what worries me about Josh Allen, that his coordinators, Brian Daboll's getting the head job. It's going to be the Chargers. It's going to be somebody. It's going to be the Jags. It's going to be somebody. He's going to get it. So the other story today, which is interesting. So there's a story out there. There's audio of Tom Cruise yelling and screaming and berating his staff. And I was kind of okay with it because his intent, he was screaming at the staff to wear a mask. And in it, you can hear him say, the industry is dying. People are dying. The industry is dying. I am in calls with producers and movie studios all night. We cannot shut down the production of this, or these movies will not be made. So his intent was not ego gratification during the screaming. It was, do you understand that if we get a COVID outbreak, the movie shuts down? And now, was he debasing people? Was he over the top? Yeah, it's kind of gross. But his intent, he was yelling about the right stuff. I just thought he was a little Christian Bale for me. But I kind of defend him. So I've always said this. Like, I separate art from artist. I understand certain industries. Like Michael Jordan, I covered him. I remember going and watching a playoff game. Michael Jordan had his own locker room. And then the rest of the Bulls were in the other because he was so big. And there were so many media with Michael, he had to have his own locker room. Otherwise, you couldn't get around the Bulls' locker room. Like, I understand the star power in the NBA. LeBron is just more important than the rest of the league. So was Shaq. So was Magic. So was Bird Michael. The James Harden story, though, bothers me. And maybe it's simply because he doesn't win. If James Harden won more, would I be willing to let him literally be late to practice, late to film session, skip practices, and tell everybody when the plane takes off? Maybe I really don't have a problem with what James Harden is doing. I have a problem that he doesn't win enough because Michael golfed on playoff game days. But Michael won, so what can I say? So do I have a problem with star treatment? If Tom Cruise did Mission Impossible and nobody went and saw it, he'd be a jerk. I allow it because Mission Impossible is one of the three or four great, you know,
movie franchises
of all time. And so it's funny about Harden. I'm asking myself the question, do I have a problem with his action, or do I have a problem with the result, which is he dies in the playoffs? He literally erodes.
I mean, we watched The Last Dance together. You saw the treatment that Dennis Rodman got during the season.
That's a great point.
And Dennis Rodman was not Michael Jordan, but he was absolutely an element to those championships, and they had to make some adjustments for Dennis Rodman's behavior during the season because that's what he needed to do. Yes, if you win, you get to do things like that. Life is not fair, but that's what it is. This is the society and the business that he's in.
Well, like we said, Hollywood, Christian Bale has a legendary tape. He's probably the best actor in the world. So we allow everything he's in, he's great. So we allow Christian Bale to act like that. If his movie's bombed, he would be, I could name four other actors who are difficult. We would just kind of think of you as a weirdo.
Yeah.
But I think Hollywood and the NBA is, if you win, we understand. Like, it's not farming. It's not accounting. It is Hollywood and the NBA.
Stars, it's a competitive industry.
And it's also, you have so much impact as a star that if you don't allow it, I mean, James Harden is going to get signed. Philadelphia would sign him this afternoon.
But also, you can argue that his behavior is affecting the winning.
That's a good point. Listen, when Westbrook's his friend and he's the reasonable one, and Westbrook.
But to Nick's point, Westbrook is known as being a hard worker. He is always in the gym. He takes what he does very seriously. You can say what you want about his game actually on the court, but he can't be questioned in those spaces.
It's interesting stuff. Brock Huer, Danny Green, former Laker, now a Sixer. I do think Harden works in Philadelphia. I think he's better than Ben Simmons. That's the one place in the league I'm like, oh, that works. Because Simmons, to me, and Embiid's games don't work. Harden and Embiid's games work. Food Network, HGTV, just part of what Discovery Plus, a new streaming service, has. They also have exclusive originals. It starts next year, coming soon, U.S. only.